Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling this meeting to order of the California Library Users of America. This is the 12th of April, 2013, and this is our session. Gloria had to correct me on the librarian's name last. Remember last meeting when I was just saying her name all wrong and through the whole meeting? Anyway, I'm Judy Wilkinson. I'm the president. I'm delighted to welcome you. And while a couple of people filter into the room, I'm going to start with some poetry. Not poetry, but poetry. Now, you all, this is, after all, National Poetry Month. It is. most of us are not so young in this room, so I'm sure you all know the poem by Joyce Kilmer, who was a man, called, what is it, Okay, so it starts out, I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. And it ends, poems are written by fools like me, but only God can plant a tree. Well, my uncle in the fifth grade was supposed to memorize this poem. And maybe this story is apocryphal and everybody did this, but apparently his version ended, poems can't be writ by fools like me, but any darn fool can plant a tree. So on that high and lofty note, we open our meeting, and the first thing that we always really love to do is to find out who's in the room with us. And for the minute, Eric Skivers is going to run the mic for us. So start with Debbie to my left. And then do it.
Okay. I will just hold the mic.
And he'll tap you on the shoulder.
Yeah, when I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. This is Debbie Barry, and I'm the appointed secretary.
More about that later.
Gloria Broderick, Vice President of CLEP.
Okay. Moving over here.
Joan Groves.
I'm Steve Mendelson, I guess, as husband to the president, I'm the first man.
All right.
Oh, I'm Pam Metz, board member.
Steve Fort, president of Beer LC, residing in the city of Alameda, California.
Linda Perel, too many hats to mention.
Okay, Rob Turner from Sunnyvale, President Silicon Valley Council.
Mike Marlin from the Braille and Talking Book Library for Northern California, here in Sacramento. Serve 48 counties, and also a member of the American Library Association Digital Content Working Group Accessibility Subcommittee.
My name is Natalie Byrne.
Elmer Chapson, Los Gatos.
Yeah, my name is Paul Leon from Bakersfield, California. I hope by the end of this meeting I will find out the reasons why I should be here.
Okay, Maria Mitchell, Bayview Chapter.
I'm Josie Conklin, Capital Chapter.
Diane Phelps, Solano County. Chapter.
Okay, moving over here.
Betty Henderson Sparks, Sacramento.
Linda Amati, I'm from Oakdale, California.
Shane Benefield, Glendale Bank Chapter of CCB.
Okay. Moving on. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sally McGuire, San Francisco.
Okay. Oh, Terry Coney, Sacramento.
Susan Glass, Silicon Valley Council.
Diane Harm, Silicon Valley Chapter.
Lynette Kersey, and as a side note, I'm a member of the Braille Transcription Project. I have We have a great lending library, and I have handouts about it. I'm in 804, so if you'd like to read and want to check out other books, please call or come to 804.
Daryl Skivers, Bayview Chapter.
Kathy Skivers, Bayview Chapter.
Ron Bateman, member of Sacramento Chapter.
Connie Bateman, Capital Chapter, Sacramento.
Cam Shure, member at large from Pacific Grove on the Monterey Peninsula.
Good morning. My name is Tuan Nguyen, a member of HCB Capital Chapter and president of the CCB Students.
Mike Keithley from Mountain View, immediate past president of SVCB.
Katrina McCurdy from the Alameda County Chapter from the BRLC, my fudge is out there somewhere to be sold.
Is there anybody that I didn't introduce themselves? Anybody? Nope. Okay. Oh, Peter.
Peter. Peter Pardini, San Francisco Chapter.
And Secretary. And Treasurer.
Treasurer of CCP.
And Treasurer
too.
Congressman from the 15th District.
What a wonderful turnout we have. And we'll ask the lady with the books to talk a little bit about her project. We have a lot on our agenda today. And as you know, people start thinking about lunch a little before noon. So I want to wrap up maybe about 1:45. But our business takes precedence, and we're going to get underway. As Debbie told you, I have, in my capacity as president, appointed her as secretary. Ann Kaiser does not feel she can serve, and we just elected her last fall. But Debbie has agreed to step up to the plate, and in fact, Debbie is and I are going to work together to make sure we use the oral meeting that the CCB keeps to create minutes for the last. I told you one meeting, but it's actually two, Debbie. We're going to do meeting minutes for two meetings so that we have the official record for the minutes. I'm upset that we don't. Next, Peter is here and is ready to give us the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Judy. California Chapter, Library Uses of America. Beginning balance, $585. We had deposits in the amount of, for membership dues, in the amount of $460. That equals 23 members. We had expenses in the amount of $50. This is our CCB dues in the amount of $50 for affiliate. Our ending balance is $995.09.
I can't remember when this organization had a treasury of nearly $1,000. And maybe, Peter, more?
But we haven't paid our dues to the national organization for 26 members. And that's $12 per member.
You know, there's some confusion, and I've had a couple of people tell me they paid us and they paid the national. So if, in fact, you did that, let me know so that we can see that we can get that straightened out. Let me or Peter know. I'm going to say this. Everybody wants your money. Everybody wants your dues. And it's expensive because at this moment we still are an affiliate of the Library Users of America, and we do have to pay them. Why did I think it was $8? We still do have to pay them $12 a year. And so that's why our dues is higher than some of the chapters. Most of the statewide affiliates do charge about $20 because of the commitments they make, the Guide Dog Users, the Braille Revival League, and our affiliate. The only inexpensive ones are Orientation Center for the Blind, and I'm chapter of that too, and we have $5 dues, and if you want to join them, come tomorrow. but I'm going to ask Peter, if you'll raise your hand and feel that you can pay your dues, to come around. Is that all right?
Should we do it after
lunch? Let's do it during lunch. We'll go around during lunch, and we'll take your tickets for the lunch, those of you who are staying for lunch. If you aren't staying for lunch, please stay in the room a second or two, and let's have Peter find you so that we can get your dues. I am thrilled to announce that we have our listserv up and running. Has everybody gotten their introductory message?
Yes.
We're very excited about this, and we're going to make big use of it. But don't worry, Kathy Skivers. Almost everything we do on the list, we are also going to make provisions that we can manage by phone so that we won't leave people out. That's so important. If you think about it, everybody in this affiliate reads books, and one of the things that I was committed to when I became president was growing our membership, and we were up to about 40 members last year. We've had a drop-off this year, and I think it's, we tried to get notices out to everybody. Some people didn't get theirs, and we're working on getting our list even more organized. So my apologies if you were on our list last year and you didn't get your renewal notice. We're gonna do better. So I'm gonna ask. I got to tell you a little bit about my friend Steve Fort. Not only does he preside in the room before us, so that many people who come for BRLC and their fascinating speakers stay for Kahlua and are dedicated to both organizations, but Steve Ford is on our Constitution and Bylaws Committee and is committed to doing a lot of work there. But he has also taken on at the last minute by twisting his arm when I was reading the Constitution and realized we needed a nominating committee for this convention. He has chaired the nominating committee. So, Steve, at this time, I'm going to ask you to let us know who the slates are for the fall. We will have elections in the fall for three positions: the vice president, the treasurer, and one of the board of director positions. So, I'm going to turn it over now to Steve.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You probably heard my voice before. This is Steve Fort, and I'll offer the nominating slate of Kahlua officers. And first we have as a vice president, Gloria Broderick. For treasurer, Peter Pardini, and for the board position, Connie Bateman. So,
do we go ahead and do the election, or do we?
No, we don't. We're just, that's in the fall. That you just mentioned that. I'm sorry. So anyway, thank you all very much, and thank you, Judy, for asking me to serve.
We do have our election in the fall, and there would be nothing that would please all of us more than to have someone to decide that they would like to run from the floor. I don't think there's anything healthier in any affiliate, in any organization, than having multiple people run for office. And We have some board members who have served long and hard, you know, if we had people who wanted to step up, that's the nomination by the nominating committee, but that doesn't mean we can't have other nominations. And the reason we do this in the spring is so that you'll have plenty of time to decide over the summer whether you'd like to run, who you'd like to support, and to, you know, discuss among yourselves who you'd like to see in office. So that's that. I'm going to move on next to the Constitution and bylaws. I noticed this came up at BRLC as well, and it's no accident that Steve Fort is a member of that committee. He serves along with Gloria Broderick, who the wonderful advantage of having Gloria on the committee is that she has the organizational history. She was here in 2008, 2007, and 2008 when they worked on revising the Constitution that we now have. The chair of that committee lives with me, and that's Stephen Mendelson. I felt we needed his fine legal mind, which maybe I'm sorry about that, but he is chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And one of the advantages of, in all seriousness, of my having put Steve on it is he isn't limited by what we always did or, you know, the way it's always been done or, you know, what should happen. So often he has very interesting suggestions for the committee to think about. So for now, I'm going to turn the microphone over to him. And, of course, once he's spoken, I'll have a lot more to say because he won't have done it right.
Thank you, Jenny, and thank you for appointing such a wonderful people and such knowledgeable people as Steve Fort and Gloria Broderick to serve with me. We're very honored to take on this responsibility. I might note, however, that however much it may be the case this is National Poetry Month, today is also National Grilled Cheese Day. So I'm particularly eager for lunch. But before we have lunch, we do need to talk about the Constitution. And this is a very auspicious time for us to address the need for revision and update. First of all, because so much about the environment in which we read has changed, but also because the circumstances of the organization are changing. For example, we've just noted here how we nominate our elected officials in the spring and elect them in the fall. Well, that's not going to be possible anymore, at least not at the kinds of meetings we've traditionally held. There's only going to be one meeting a year. And whether it's in the spring or the fall, as the case may be, something's going to have to change to reflect that. In many other ways, too, the changes in the organization require that the Constitution change. And as I say, changes in the meeting environment do so as well. So you're going to have the opportunity, and this is one of the unique advantages of being a member of Kahlua this year, not only the exciting debut of the list, but also the opportunity to participate in a dialogue which will make you an active participant in the development of our new Constitution. We're very excited about being able to share that process with you. The Constitution will not be a document handed down on high for your acceptance or rejection. It will be a document into which you have input and which will reflect, hopefully, in the aggregate, your views and concerns and your desires for what you want out of the organization and your aspirations for what you can give to the organization. There are many issues that we have to address and that we'll be talking about after the Constitution goes up on the listserv, and as we discuss it over the coming months. Obviously, there are issues about our relationship with the national organization in terms of the amount of money they take or otherwise. We have to think about our name. We have to think about how we want to elect our officers. We want to think about how we hold meetings in a more technological era. We want to think about whether or not our purpose, our mission, is the traditional one of sort of being an advocacy group on behalf of the various specialized reading services that are so important to our lives, or whether we want to incorporate also an additionally broadened perspective of trying to advance the cause of reading and accessibility in wider venues. There are many, many, many things we'll be talking about and thinking about in the coming months as we develop our new Constitution, which we hope to be able to present to you for a vote in the fall. We're bound by the old Constitution until we have a new one, and the old constitution would require votes to be taken in the fall, and so we hope to be able to do that fall, since for all we know it may be the last fall meeting, and we look forward very much to working with you on that process over the months to come. Thank you.
Some of the affiliates are taking the approach of let's just change, you know, hold elections in the every in the fall 1 year and the spring the other year. You know, they're going to just change whatever they need to do to make it conform to one convention a year. I have asked our Constitution Committee while we are thinking about the Constitution to let's re-envision it. Let's imagine it from the ground up. For instance, right now in the Constitution is out of our dues, and that needs to be in bylaws rather than Constitution. But that's just minor. We have a lot of issues that we will be thinking about in terms of not just revising our Constitution, but recreating it. Now, the listserv is where I will initially post an electronic copy of the Constitution. We will also be polling all of our members to see who'd like a copy in Braille. And we will provide that so that you have the Constitution in front of you in Braille. Those of you who feel, if you can manage by just using the electronic version, I plead with you to do that. But we want people to have the Braille if they need it. We are also going to schedule at least 2 conference calls during the late spring and early summer so that you can give input to the committee, and we'll ask some fairly specific questions so that you'll have some guidelines, you know, to think about for that discussion. As Steve said, by the old Constitution, we need to vote at the next convention, and we propose to do it in the fall rather than wait till next spring. So that means we will be in San Diego. We hope that by the time we actually present the Constitution, everybody who will be there and voting would be willing to adopt it. I would hate to have a Constitution that very many people were opposed to. So even though I'm upset that those of you who can't make the trip to San Diego won't be officially vote, it's more important than ever then that you get your input to the list or on one of these phone calls so that your voice is heard in the drafting of the Constitution. Are there any questions up to this point? I don't like deadly quiet. Peter, would you want them?
Yeah, I'll take them. Dude, I was thinking maybe we should, one thing that could be considered is perhaps doing a, like a fall conference call business meeting.
Something like that.
Yes. You know, I mean, adopting our new Constitution.
We're thinking things just like that.
You know, I mean, that just came to my head. It'll be in October. October 17th to the 20th.
One of our interesting technical problems is that the current Constitution calls for all those to be taken at meetings, at regular meetings, and apparently this is construed to mean at either the current spring or fall convention in person. And so one of the things we'll be talking about, we feel we unfortunately do have to abide by that procedure so long as that Constitution is in effect. But one of the things we'll be talking about and asking for your input about in respect of drafting a new Constitution is whether in this day and age it might be possible or desirable to think about having official meetings in other ways, such as by conference call or by absentee ballot or by any number of possible ways that we'll be thinking about and talking to you about over the coming months.
We have a question.
Okay, start to
We have a question. Here you go, Tony.
Hi, Judy. I'm not a member. Can I be allowed to speak? Oh. Okay. I gotta make sure. I'm not a clear member. Can I permitted to talk or to make comment? Okay, cool. Okay. TGBS, it will be having a constitution layout tomorrow morning, and if anybody like to be interested. And to get a model of how we, redesigned our constitution, because it's very important that everybody needs to understand and work together to get a ideas and feedback on how we can improve all affiliates throughout the state, and to make everything very consistent, because we are having one convention a year starting 2014, it's very important that we need to work as quickly as can, as quickly as possible, to prevent any problem in the near future. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't see his hand.
Judy, I wanted to suggest that planning on different ways to have meetings and other things that you're going to do on the telephone, it's important to let people know whether or not, everybody doesn't have long-distance phoning. When you do, it doesn't matter. But I think we need to find out how many of our people have that kind of phoning, and then either way it goes, if you're going to have to pay for it or not. I think that's very important that all the members be notified of that right away.
Hi, I heard a whisper saying, when is the student meeting? Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the Chardonnay room is our business meeting.
Any other questions? Anyone need... Here you go. What's your name, Tori?
Oh, you're back, Tori. I'm back. Oh, great. The Tori that she's become the fabulous book runner. The next thing that I would like to talk about is coming back to fundraising. It seems like I spend a lot of time talking about fundraising and kicking around ideas with this group and trying. That's the other goal I set, growing the organization and grow the treasury. I want to be one of those organizations that pays a delegate to attend, who sends a delegate, to certain meetings. And that we can give back to the California Council. I would love to see this organization support student scholarships. There's just, I could spend our money just all kinds of ways. We looked at things like, selling Braille chocolate bars. And then I remembered I'm not supposed to eat chocolate, and I don't want to be sitting around filling chocolate molds. So I arbitrarily decided that this might not be a very feasible way to make money. We may come back to it. And we've had a crafts fair, and I pledge that we will have one again in the fall. We have not had a crafts fair in Southern California, so we will have a crafts fair in Southern California in the fall. So I'm going to ask my crafters to get busy. It doesn't have to just be knitting. It doesn't have to just be crocheting. We have all kinds of things and all kinds of talent. Joan has contributed. Lori Kastner from our chapter has contributed. Bayview, and she's a member of this organization. So if you're and Linda Amati has contributed about 30 hats. Oh, my goodness. She's got more upstairs. Great. I'll take them home. Good. And they're beautiful. They really are beautiful. So that is something we're going to come back to, but we probably can't do that very often, and we want something more unique. I after our meeting last fall, I was literally in the exhibit hall, and there were two jewelry manufacturers who attended our Southern California convention. And I approached both of them about the thought of making some unique piece of jewelry, piece of, you know, something that people could wear or give that would be unique to the California library users, that would be ours, and that just like, I mean, if we can't have Katrina and her fudge, and if we can't get her to make something else for us, like, you know, peanut brittle or something, we need something that says Kahlua just as fudge says BRLC. And one of the women, you know, wrote me back a little while later and said, oh, we've designed something you might want to look at. We've designed a bookmark. And I wrote her back and I said, you know, blind people can't use bookmarks. I want something that we can not only be proud of ourselves and use, but give to all of our friends for Christmas, for birthdays, for Valentine's. Anybody we know who's a reader will probably have some kind of motto like reading rocks or something, but we're looking for a perfect piece of design, and I'm going to have a committee. I'm going to appoint a fundraising committee, and I'm not going to appoint it here because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But I am going to tell you, one of the people I'm going to ask is the person who writes to me most about this, so she'd better be warned. And I appreciate all the suggestions. Did you want the mic again? Did I hear an
Well, I mean, I'll volunteer for your fundraising committee.
Great. Like you aren't on anything else. That'd be great. No, you've got some great ideas, and you can look at pictures. And so that's the thing. We need people who can look at pictures and assess, does this look handsome? Could a man have it? You know, we want something that men and women can have. Does everybody sort of think this is going in a good direction?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, I'll come every time with some new idea till we get one that we actually can get off the ground. So I think we will pursue this. Lori Kastner, suggested print braille magnets. You know, National Braille Press does stuff like that. People love them. And so I'm going to get in touch. We're going to, you know, she sent me the information to contact those folks. So, you know, something like that, that we can make uniquely ours, that people will know that we can sell year after year, convention after convention, national, local, that people, you know, want for all their friends and family. So that's the direction we're heading, and that's now with the Constitution front burner on my personal agenda. Any comments or questions about that? Why am I not surprised?
I'm just thinking, and it's, you know, just something to think about. Probably most of us, or some of us, have CCB key rings, and there's a raised CCB on a flat plastic thing. I think we can't probably drink Kahlua. I was going to suggest we sell Kahlua, but we won't make much on it. But I think, Judy, that we might want to look into where we got those key rings and take a look at what they look like. And maybe we could get a key ring. That's something you could give anybody for a gift at any time. And they would have our initials on there, Kahlua, C-A-L-U-A. And I just thought somebody might look at that.
Just for the recording, Gloria, do you want, Gloria, you say?
I'm handing you the mic.
All right. This is Gloria Broderick, and I think it would be cool to have a keychain with a book on it, with something in Braille, like read or something like that. I don't know.
We have an idea over here.
Years ago, I don't want to do any more fudge. I'm tired of it for a while. Anyhow, let's see. I remember using paper clips to use as markers for a Braille book, you know. Or we can make a clipper, like a clip kind of thing. You could put on the page a braille, and that would it would hold together. It would help mark wherever we left off in a book or a magazine or something like that. It could be a clip kind of thing to have some kind of braille initials or something on it. Whatever, that we still can use a clip thing. Not really something you lay between the pages because that can slip out. Or even a thing with a long string that can come down between the pages. But just an old clip, like the old paper clip we used to use at CSB sometimes. And so that's my idea. That could be used anywhere, in magazines, or sighted people could use them too, for marking things too. So anyway, that's my idea.
We got another over here.
This is Mike Marlin, and one thing that many libraries are doing now are either customized and or monogrammed flash drives. You could put some ACB, CCB, Kahlua document on it, plus whatever disk space. Visual and Braille monogram. And then the other, maybe more of a harebrained idea I just thought of, was a large print slash Braille coffee table book about something to do with Kahlua and libraries. Something glossy and beautiful for the visual folks and informative and Braille for everyone else. Maybe even large print, who knows?
Anyone else? Yeah.
Hi, this is Joan. I just have something flashed into my mind after Mike was saying about the flash drive thing. Some kind of designer mouse pad that could have maybe some Braille on it in some form and some print thing. I once found one that was like a Persian rug, all visual, and I gave it to a friend who had a Persian rug, and you would have thought I gave her the world's moon or something. I mean, she just loved this thing and went on and on and on about it. So something visual, I think, with some Braille symbolism on a mouse pad could work.
This is Connie Bateman from Sacramento. I went to the ACB National Convention, and I bought a charm for my cane. It has a guitar on it. But they had different designs. They made jewelry and charms for canes, because a lot of times blind people stick their canes on the walls, and they all look alike, if you know what I mean. And so she came up with the idea of charms, so we could distinguish our own canes.
Yes, my name. Am I there? Yes, my name is Cam Schur. You know, so many of us go up and buy coffee, and we throw away paper cups enough to sink Hawaii. And what about having mugs with a screw on top, and then on the outside it would have something in Braille or whatever you want it, so that when you go up to buy coffee, you bring your own cup. And the other thing is, I lose my cane all the time. And if I had something in the handle of my cane that would beep, if I had something on the end of my cane that would beep, and I would have something around my neck where I would press the button, the cane would beep, and I would know where the thing is.
We're just throwing out the point is to throw out the ideas here. We get the community to explore and to check out and to shoot them down. You know what? I hear Andrea and I hear a couple of other people. I'm going to cut this off after two or three more minutes because I really do want to give Mike Marlin enough time to make some comments, and then, you know, we have a couple more things. So I'm going to cut it off after about three. How many people? Raise your hands. Okay. Everybody, please make it short and we get you all in.
Pamela
Okay, one of the things I was just said, does Kahlua have a logo?
No.
Okay, one of the first things we need to do is come up with a logo that's uniquely Kahlua's. And then we can just talk about designing something in the shape of that logo.
Well, people are going to groan when they hear this, but I love them. And it's hard to get any more a good, strong, sturdy tote bag for us to put all of our streams or braille books or whatever. And I think it'd be wonderful to to meet with one of these makers of bags, and we could have a, you know, Kahlua logo or something on it. Something big and sturdy.
Hi, this is Andrea, and I like a lot of the ideas that have been mentioned here. I love the cane charm, but the cane charm is limiting our audience a little bit, and I think Judy was thinking of also maybe we can have more than one thing, but also something that we can give to people. You can give a cane charm to somebody, but they have to have a cane or somewhere to hang it. Some cell phones you can hang charms on, but the iPhones now, you know, I have a bunch of charms and I can't use them because my iPhone has nowhere to hang them. So maybe we can go a couple of different ways with this. I know the two jewelers, and I think they'd probably be both willing to work with us. So I'm just I think a lot of these ideas are wonderful. But I think we have to also look at price and how complicated it's going to be to develop, because that'll take time.
Any other quick wrap-up comments?
Okay. I'm jumping on the bandwagon with regard to bags because of all the limitations we're getting with the you know, no more plastic, all that kind of thing. So everybody's wandering around with multi-use bags on them. So those bags are going out and going to be seen no matter where you go. So, yes, if you get your bag out there with the logo, and even if you give it away to people, they're going to start knowing about that and maybe asking questions, that could be something that continues to advertise what it is we're trying to put out there.
It is so thrilling to have so much discussion that I have to stop it. If we have time afterwards, we'll come back, I promise. But I do now want to turn the microphone. Rob Turner, are you in the room? I'm going to ask you if you would to speak, if there's time. If we can always ask you at the luncheon, save you for the lunch. Okay, so let me turn the microphone now over to, I'm thrilled to have him here, our talking book librarian, Mike Marlin.
Pshaw, as my grandmother used to say. Enough about me. You all talk about me now, as my brother-in-law always says. I'm thrilled to be here, and thank you, Judy. It's really exciting to be part of this group and see so many people in this room, because I've been here a couple of times over the past few years, and it wasn't this large, so this is awesome. So I wanted to just mention a few brief things having to do with the National Library Service for the Blind and our regional library. And then I can maybe just briefly talk about some of the national and international initiatives going on within American Library Association. And maybe try to leave time for a few questions. One thing I wanted to do, and I left it at work, was bring one of the new magazines on cartridge, and I forgot. I had to actually subscribe to them in order to get them to show my staff, because unless you're subscribing to a magazine, they're not giving out to the libraries. I don't know if everyone in the room has heard about the transition from analog to digital magazines, but hopefully you all have. If you've been cassette subscribers, then you've been getting notices on your cassettes that it's coming. And if you're a Bard downloader, then you may or may not care. I find it nice to be able to pop a cartridge in if I'm eating lunch or something, rather than when I'm en route somewhere and I can listen to it on a portable device. Anyhow, so the magazines on cartridge program just rolled out from NLS. It's going to coincide, it's going to overlap with the cassette subscriptions for 2 months, at which point the cassettes will cease. Anyone who is not signed up for cassette magazines already and has not signed up for magazines now, I'm sorry, let me rewind that. If you don't have a digital player, but you have cassette magazine subscriptions, your magazines will end. So we've been involved in a campaign to try to get everyone who doesn't have a digital machine yet, there are very few, but we're trying to get everyone upgraded so you can start getting magazines. And the way it's going to work, it's a little complicated because if you think about it, there are weekly magazines, bi-weekly magazines, monthly magazines, bi-monthly magazines, and quarterly magazines. And Talking Book Topics, which is bi-weekly, is included in that. And unfortunately, we haven't, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. The network libraries have been lobbying NLS to make Talking Book Topics a separate entity because the plan is to combine magazines. So that if you get a monthly and a weekly and a bi-weekly, and they all come out at roughly the same time, you will get one cartridge with multiple magazines on it, which I think is great. And if you get a weekly, then you're probably going to get a cartridge every week. I don't have the demo that I have with me, but it only had one magazine on it, so it wasn't that exciting. Couldn't enlist the bookshelf function, which everyone here I'm sure knows what that is, right? So on the digital talking book machine, if you hold the play button down for a few seconds, it will engage the bookshelf function, for which if you have multiple books or magazines loaded onto a USB, either a thumb drive or a cartridge, if you've purchased a blank cartridge, then you can navigate through bookshelf, choose whichever item you want to listen to, and press play, and it engages. So, what else about magazines? The loan period is vaguely defined right now by NLS, and we're working with them to try to get it to be more clear. Right now, they've come up with a system whereby if you have more than three magazines overdue, your magazines get cut off. And we think that that's a little bit harsh, especially if you have a weekly. That would give you 3 weeks, and then you wouldn't get the one after that until you send one back. And we know that life can interfere with our voracious reading appetite sometimes, and we don't always read something as quickly as we want to. Anyhow, I'm happy to answer questions about that. I'll be around all weekend, and or call us or email or fax us at the library. So that's magazines on cartridge. Next, I know this is a big item and everyone's been asking about it, and that is the smartphone apps for Bard. They're not ready yet. However, the iOS app, which some of you may have heard about, has been presented by NLS's Judy Dixon at the CSUN conference a few months ago. She had the alpha version. And we're waiting for the beta version to come out for a few people in the network who are going to test it. People have asked about whether they can be on become a beta tester for the iPhone app, or the iOS app. And the list is so long now that you can send me your name, but I can't promise anything at this point. I'll just pass it along to Judy. But I think that the plan is to have the iOS app ready to go. Maybe not perfect, but hopefully ready to go by the national conventions in the first week of July. That's the plan. Please don't quote me on it. Well, you can quote me on it, but I might be wrong. And then there is also going to be an Android app, and that is a little further behind just due to federal contract issues, negotiations, that sort of thing. The NLS staff is working on it, and hopefully that'll be out maybe 6 months after the other one or something like that. But the NLS has said that they hope to have the apps ready to go by the end of 2013. So that's not bad. That gives us, 9 months to go. So it's better than a few years ago when everyone was saying, where's the app? So NLS is working hard. There was a Bard upgrade. a few months ago, if everyone noticed, and with the big news that the B is fun, as Steve Prime from NLS likes to call it, used to be called drab because there was no Braille, but now it's actually BARD, and there is a B in BARD, and it's electronic Braille, formerly web Braille, and people should be able to download that to their heart's contents, and it's really interesting now. We even have people who are downloading Braille books that aren't available in audio so that they can listen to them as text-to-speech, and they're not necessarily signed up as Braille readers. So that's a little side note for you. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that from NLS, but we'll see. Our newsletter mentions we've been sporadic with our newsletters, and I apologize to all of you Northern California folks. We've just, you know, the library's been hit by the recession just like everywhere else, and we've just been trying to maintain core services. We did add a descriptive video service, and we just added 80 new titles that were films from within the last year and a half. So check it out. It's on our website. I have some large print catalogs I'll be bringing tomorrow for the other meeting, the low vision group in the morning. We've got that going, and what was that? Oh, I was going to mention NLS. In the newsletter, we announced the new NLS director, and I don't know if everyone here had a chance to read about that, but the new director of the National Library Service is a wonderful blind woman, Karen Kenninger, formerly, yeah, We've all been saying NLS really needs a director who is also a consumer, and they have one. And Karen is just amazing. She's already convened a Braille Summit. It's happening in June. It's going to be bringing stakeholders from all over the country and the world to talk about how libraries can improve, augment their Braille service, as well as improve Braille literacy. So Karen's very committed to that. She's also very open to new suggestions and paradigms that the former director, who I think did a lot of wonderful things but was there for almost 40 years, wasn't keen on conceiving of. And that includes things like the possibility of a text-to-speech component of the digital talking book machine, the possibility for wireless with the reconfiguring the circuit board in the machine so that down the road books can be pushed out over wireless. And, you know, there are a lot of pressures and being applied on the state levels by state libraries who would like to reduce some of the shelving area for books. And you know, the BARD readership nationwide is something like 5%. It's about 23% of our readership. So out of 12,000 people, whatever that is, close to 3,000, I guess. And it's been going up and up. But still, the majority of our users are with a median age of 71 years old. So, you know, we have a lot of folks out there, and we, you know, a lot of us who come to CCB are tech, very tech focused. Not all of us, but we like our gadgets, and we're voracious readers, especially in this room. And but there are plenty of other voracious readers out there who still rely on the mail service, and that's very important. And we never want to lose sight of that. Especially for a federal program where Congress could say, oh, well, everything's on the internet now. You don't need NLS anymore. So we know that's not true, and it's just something to keep in mind. What else can I tell you about our library? We have two buildings at the State Library. The Braille and Talking Book Library is in our newer building. The original State Library, which was built in it opened in 1928. It's a beautiful building. It's been being renovated for the last several years. We had all the rest of the library staff move in with us, move into our reading room. So we've been sharing our reading room with the law, government publications, and information services sections. Our Braille collection went out to a warehouse in West Sacramento, and the law reference collection went on those shelves. So we felt a little bit boxed in for the last several years, and it's coming to an end. The building should be, it's actually the Library and Courts One building is going to be opening in a few weeks just for the courts. We expect by late summer, early fall, it should open for the rest of the library, which means we'll get our room back. And we have some big plans, and we want everyone's input on that from all of you here and anyone else you talk to. I would like to see us have a nice sort of technology lab out in our reading room where we, you know, we have a couple of older workstations now that have the basic screen reading and screen magnification, OCR scanning and a Braille embosser. But I don't have any Macintosh computers. I think we need those. I think I plan to buy at least one of every third-party player that there is so that any of you can, if you're coming through Sacramento, you can come in, you can check out the new HIMSS Book Sense 3 or the Braille Sense or any of these devices. So we've talked about showing descriptive movies, all kinds of stuff. To make a short story long, we're going to have an open house once we have the room back, and we'll invite everyone in the community who can make it, and we'll serve food and give tours and have a grand old time. So keep your ears peeled for that, hopefully later this fall. We don't have an exact move-in date, or I should say move the in-laws out date. Again, hopefully I'm not being recorded by anyone except here. Hopefully this won't get out to the authorities. And then lastly, let me just, and I'm sorry for, I hope I'm not going over the time limit here. So as some of you know, I'm also pretty active in the American Library Association. And, NLS Network is wonderful. There's lots of stakeholders. We're affiliated with each other, with blindness advocacy groups and all that. But when it comes to the national level of librarianship, accessibility is often an afterthought. And we've really tried hard over the last several years to make it more of a forethought, to the point where we were able to pass resolutions in the American Library Association Council, which is the governing council, on website accessibility in libraries, on checklists for libraries who are buying products from vendors, such as online databases, to ensure that they're accessible, that sort of thing. Another one that we just passed recently has to do with the WIPO Treaty. And for those of you who don't know, the World Intellectual Property Organization, which is a big international treaty org. Well, it's not, I'm sorry, it's just an international organization having to do with intellectual property. A couple of years ago, a few countries in South America put forth a treaty for international resource sharing for copyright exemption for so that libraries could share files internationally. So it would be an international treaty, and that any country with a copyright exemption would be able to, which we have here, we NLS can record or Braille anything as long as it's in a protected format for its users. And this treaty would extend to any country in the world who is a treaty member so that those files could be shared. So you could borrow books from China, for example, and or the UN, NLS could loan books to, not just NLS, but anyone, any library in the country could loan books to someone in Australia, for example, or Madagascar or wherever. So initially, most of the world was dead set against this because of the copyright protection stakeholders that are out there. The United States was lukewarm to this in the beginning. But over the years, with support of a lot of groups like this one, the U.S. has softened its stance and is now encouraging treaty negotiations to go forward. Kareem Dale, who was the White House accessibility officer, a blind guy from Chicago, just retired, but he was very instrumental in getting this going. And at ALA, we passed a resolution encouraging the U.S. to move forward with this, et cetera, et cetera. Lastly, I mentioned earlier the Digital Content Working Group and the whole paradigm scenario, if you will, of ebooks and their accessibility. And so we've been working hard to ensure that accessible platforms are discussed in business plans with libraries that are working with publishers and vendors. Most of our focus last year was just getting publishers to even sell ebooks to libraries. which is the big six publishers either refused to do so or made the prices so outrageously high, four times what the public pays for them, that libraries were stymied. And they're worried that people can just share these ebooks. It's kind of like going back to the recording industry and sharing of cassette tapes from LPZ recorded. We're kind of there in the dark ages again with these publishers. But we're moving forward. Penguin just announced that they're going to start selling ebooks to libraries, so this is a good thing. And the others, there's continued negotiations going on. I've been focusing with my colleagues on accessibility and making sure that accessibility is a key component in these business plans. ALA developed a scorecard for publishers to determine just how useful or helpful they were in terms of satisfying the ebook circulation for the public. And due to our lobbying efforts, we got accessibility up on the list. It was 15 out of 15. We got it raised to number 4. Basically, I just sent them statistics showing how many people have disabilities, how many people are legally blind in the country, and they all said, wow, we had no idea. I said, well, yeah. So anyway, those are a few of the things we're working on. And then obviously, some of you may know about the ebook loaner programs. Actually, National Federation of the Blind was instrumental in with lawsuits against Philadelphia Free Public Library and Sacramento Public Library because they started a Nook circulation program. People with vision impairments complained, and the Justice Department came in and has now mandated that if a library has an e-reader circulation program, they have to have an accessible option. Sac Public started circulating iPod Touches, and some of our patrons, maybe some of you, participated in the pilot for that. But I think especially now with there are apps coming out for Nooks and Kindles, it'll be interesting to see how successful the Kindle and the Nook are in the near future. I know that George Kirscher, who's part of the DAISY Consortium, is very keen on these apps and even thinks that eventually, due to pressure, that the Nook and the Kindle are going to develop talking menus. But we'll see. The jury's out. It's a slow battle, as you know. Anyway, I think let me stop rambling. there's a lot going on in the library world. And I basically just saying some of this stuff to so that you all know there's a larger picture beyond NLS. I mean, we all know about Bookshare. My colleague to the right here will talk about that. And there are plenty of other online options, the Internet Archive. But just be aware of the whole picture, and I'm sure Judy is aware of all this. And if any of you have any questions about this and want to contact me offline about some of the developments going on in the library world, please do. Any questions? Oh, my email is mike.marlin@library.ca.gov. And yeah, Mike, M-I-K-E, dot Marlin, M-A-R-L-I-N, like the fish or the baseball team, at library.ca.gov. And you can call the library. Do you want me to give phone numbers, Judy, or? You can call us toll-free anywhere in the state, 1-800-952-5666. There we have an automatic call distribution menu, and just follow the prompts to library director. You can also get a hold of your reader advisor and anyone else on the staff. My direct line is 916-651-0812.
Debbie has a question.
You know, with the magazines being the way they are, and let's say, the cartridges are very expensive, and, they're going to have to be returned, I would think, in a timely manner. What I wonder, and to me it's so obvious, and to my knowledge, libraries don't have this. Why... they couldn't have either part-time positions or volunteer positions. You know, there are people out there that would, you know, enjoy and have a, you know, sense of really doing a service, downloading books for people and putting them on cartridges and distributing them. Because, you know, I mean, you could talk about independence and everybody should do their own and, you know, all this and that. But, you know, there are a lot of people, for whatever reason, due to disability, age, you know, whatever, they can't do it. And I would think, you know, that would really help that problem somewhat. And on one of the one more thing. There are lists where people can even get an idea of what is on BARD so that they can make a list for somebody to download for them.
Respond to the question. You raise a great point. We are already doing that. We purchase blank cartridges and we're filling in the collection in gaps. And there's also NLS does provide through its multi-state center interlibrary loans of anything on the digital sphere. As far as whether or not we could, I think that we would. It would be just too cost prohibitive for us to buy thousands of cartridges and put magazines on them, especially now that NLS is doing it already. But it do, for people, there are people that we do help who are in fiscal or whatever predicament that need help, and just give us a call and we'll work something out. You're right that magazines are on cartridges are expensive. Magazines are now circulating. There's no longer disposable cassettes that you can keep or toss. We have a whole core of reader advisors that can help you determine what books, what magazines are out there. It is listed on BARD. It is listed in our catalog.
One last question. Somebody already asked. Yes.
Okay, one quick comment. We have a book club at the Braille Institute in Anaheim, and the guy that works in our library does that for people. So it's not unheard of, because he will download books. About half our group doesn't use BARD, and he will download the books. I can also do it. You know, I help out with that too, but he has been more than willing to help us with downloading books. So, you know, if they have time and they're able to do it, it's not unheard of. My question for Mike, when you talk about described movies, are you talking about the ones we can get at our cooperating libraries, or is there another way to get those? And are they still, it seems like they have some on cassettes, on video cassettes still, but are they transitioning to DVDs? I know you can buy some commercial ones, but I just wondered.
We started a collection of VHS and DVD. The VHS have not circulated. Nobody seems to want them. So we're probably just going to phase them out. I mean, I have boxes that I never even cataloged. We have 230 described DVDs. Both some are accessible that play when you pop them in. Others are a language track, which I find frustrating, but it's the way the industry is operating right now. And that there are some tricks to get the right track to play, and sometimes you need sighted assistance. But that's what we're talking about with described movies.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Can I have the mic back 1 minute?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, what a fine meeting we've had. I'm so appreciative of everybody being here.